Blog Talk Radio.
God, everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries, INC. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a mighty word from God this evening. Amen. Then also, you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16. Where it says, Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest a breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all 9 of its gifts. And that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here by Francesca. Praise God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Your glory, God, is worth.
and unto him who sits on the throne, and unto the Lamb that was slain, be all glory, honor, dominion, and power, forever and ever.
Praise somebody. He's worthy of our praise. begin to worship His name today. The angels and the 24 elders and the four living creatures bow before Him, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is and is to come. And we, the children of God, today we say hallelujah to Your name, God.
Amen. Praise be to God. You are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Friday from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. And at 7 p.m., Evangelist Hilda will be with us with a word from the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord, help us remember that every day is cause for celebration. Today, we will try our best to keep joy in our hearts. We will celebrate the life You have given us here on earth and the eternal life that will be ours in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I will pray. I will play another selection.
Oh, yeah. And sometimes we don't treat everybody like you want to be treated. Yep, there will be times when your efforts will be defeated. I know sometimes you're heavy laden burden. Can't find a friend, can't stop your heart. The searching deep within, where did it all go wrong? And you need a savior to give you the strength to go on. Hold on,
hold on
to the hem,
the hem
of His garment.
All you need is a little faith to receive saving grace.
Hold on,
hold on
to the hem of His garment,
of His garment.
Don't let Jesus pass you by. He'll make everything alright. Story about a woman who had an issue of blood. For 12 long years she was flowing like a flood. Even the doctor had given up on hope. But she heard about a
man called Jesus who could perform miracles. So she started crawling through the crowd on her hands and knees. She caught on to his garment. Then he said, somebody touch me. Jesus could feel the healing start to flow. Then he looked at this woman and said, your faith has made you whole. Hold on.
Hold on to the hem
of his garment. All you need is a little faith to receive his saving grace. Hold on. You'll make everything all right. Oh yes, mama, mama. All you gotta do is hold on,
hold on to the hem of his garment.
Doesn't matter what you're going through. No, 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 no. You just reach out and hold on.
Hold on to the hem of his garment.
He will make a way for you. Hold on.
Hold on.
Hold on
to the hem of his garment.
Don't let Jesus go.
Hold on to the hem of his garment.
Strong and mighty he will show. Yes, indeed. All you gotta do is hold on to Jesus.
Hold on,
yeah,
to the hem of his garment.
Hold on to Jesus.
Hold on to the hem of his garment.
He will make a way for you.
Hold on,
oh, yes,
to the hem of his garment.
And I know he will see it through.
Hold on to the hem of his garment.
You see, he's a mighty good God. Oh, yes,
hold
he is.
Hold on to the hem of his garment.
Whoa.
Keeps my mind, the grace you've shown towards me. I just can't believe how you never turn away when I push you far away. You're the light that breathes through me. Now I've been set free. Wrong seems to follow me. I still can't believe how you never let me go, how you never lost your hope. You keep proving your love to me.
I am set free.
Amen. Praise be to God. It is now time for our devotional message. Amen. Which is entitled, I am with you. Amen. And my scripture reading for this message is coming from Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. And it says, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Amen. Praise be to God. And my second scripture reading is coming from Psalms chapter 73, verses 23 through 26. And it says, yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward, you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth as nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Amen. Praise God. Again, the title of this message is, I am with you. These four words are like a safety net, protecting you from falling into despair. Because you are human, you will always have ups and downs in your life experience. But the promise of my presence limits how far down you can go. Sometimes you may feel as if you are in a free fall when people or things you had counted on let you down. Yet, as soon as you remember that I am with you, your perspective changes radically. Instead of bemoaning your circumstances, you can look to me for help. You recall that not only am I with you, but I am holding you by your right hand. I guide you with my counsel, and afterward, I will take you into glory. This is exactly the perspective you need. The resurrection of my presence and the glorious hope of heaven. I pray that this devotional message is a blessing to you as it is to me. Amen. Dear Jesus, because we are your disciples, we will trust you. We will obey your teachings, and we will share your good news. You have given us life abundant and life eternal, and we will follow you today and forever. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Again, you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen. At this time, I will play another selection.
I'll die in you. But as long as you're here, I'm not afraid. I bless your name. I worship you. Lord, I come before your throne with thanks and praise.
I live for you.
I live for you.
I'm lying.
David said, I have said the Lord always before me. I bless your name. Lord, I worship you.
Oh,
hallelujah. Lord, I live for you. Forever I am yours, Lord. Your name. Lord, I worship you.
I worship you.
Oh, I
can. Lord, I come
with a heart of worship. A heart of worship. For me to live is right, and to die is gain. For I will look unto the altar and of my faith. Come on, let's take it higher.
I live for you.
I live for you.
For
I have said the Lord always before me. Because you are on my right hand, I shall not be moved. I bless your name. The Lord with me, somebody. Forever we love you. Forever we live to worship you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. I live for you.
Mama's taking it easy. Papa's gone on to paradise, smiling down on me. So many people just trying to make ends meet, hoping and praying, just trying to live happy and free. Come Sunday morning, down on my knees, I'll be falling. And I'm gonna give the Lord his day and everything will be okay in the present of his grace. A heated conversation, me and my baby, with sometimes debate. Life has but few guarantees. Sweet love and a good cup of coffee. Grown children don't seem to think life can slip away. No time to listen to what this old man has to say. Oh, you see the world is changing, and it's moving, moving at the speed of light. I'm just trying, trying to make a difference will be okay in the presence of his grace. Come Sunday morning, down on my knees, I'll be falling. I'm gonna give the Lord his day, and everything will be okay in the presence of his grace. Oh yeah, in the presence of his grace. The presence of his grace.
Amen. Praise be to God. It is now time for our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. The title of this message is Lift. And the scripture reading is coming from Joshua chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 1 through 9. Amen. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation where it says, this is talking about Joshua needs the nation, leads the nation, the Lord's charge to Joshua. So after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land I have given you, from the Negev wilderness in the south of the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the lands of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess, amen, to possess all the land I swore to them, to their ancestors, I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them. Turning either to the right or to the left, then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instructions continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." May the Lord richly add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and always the doing of his mighty word. Amen. Praise be to God. The text for this message is coming from Joshua 1 and 7, and it says, "Be strong and very courageous." Amen. Again, the title, Lift. Now, during our tour, the writer says, during our tour of an aircraft carrier, a jet fighter pilot explained that planes need a 5 kilometer per hour wind to take off on such a short runway. To reach this steady breeze, the captain turns his ship into the wind. Should not the wind come from the plane's back? I asked. The pilot answered, no, the jets must fly into the wind. That's the only way to achieve lift. God called Joshua to lead his people into the winds that awaited them in the promised land. Joshua required two things. Internally, he needed to be strong and very courageous in Joshua 1:7. And externally, he needed challenges. This includes the daily task of leading thousands of Israelites facing walled cities in Joshua 6:1-5. Demoralizing defeat 7:3-5. Achan's thief verses 16-26, and continual battles in Chronicles 10:11. The wind that blew in Joshua's face would lift his life as long as his thrust came from God's instructions. God said he must be careful to obey all the law. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Joshua 1:7-8. Are you resolved to follow God's ways no matter what? Then look for challenges. Fly boldly into the wind and see your spirit soar. Amen. Praise be to God. Question. Why are challenges necessary for a successful life? And how might God use a present problem to lift you? Think about those two questions. Amen. Let us pray. Father, life is hard and it often hurts. May our problems lift us closer to you, in Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. And that concludes our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord. Many people think that prosperity and success comes from having power, influential personal contacts, and a relentless desire to get ahead. But the strategy for gaining prosperity that God taught Joshua goes against such criteria. He said that to succeed, Joshua must, one, be strong and courageous because the task ahead would not be easy, and two, obey God's law, and three, constantly read and study the book of instruction, God's word. To be successful, follow God's word to Joshua. You may not succeed by the world's standards, but you will be a success in God's eyes. And his opinion is most important. Amen. Praise God. Because We have to learn to lean on the Lord.
In the dichotomy of man, my flesh cries out because my burdens get heavy and my mind seems confused. But my spirit answers back and says, don't worry. God is right there. He's never failed. He will fight every battle. I've learned to trust in the Lord.
I trust in Jesus, he's my friend.
Amen. Praise be to God. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. And now we are going to get ready to go into the Word. At this time, I will play a selection, and following the selection, I will come back with what thus says the Lord. Amen.
Lord have mercy. Come on, y'all, let's assemble. We gonna have a church. When I look back on my life, and I think about all the hills and all the valleys, I can thank God that I can stand here before you today and testify about his goodness. You see, tomorrow is not promised to us. But I woke up early one morning, and the words to this song came to me. And it goes a little something like this. Come on, fellas. Come on and sing for the Lord. You see, God is sustaining me. Let me tell you about it. Oh,
God is sustaining me.
Don't you know, God?
Restores my soul.
sustaining me. When I'm in trouble, when I'm sick,
Jesus,
you see, he touched my body,
sustaining me,
and I can feel all over me. Yeah.
And no matter,
no matter what the touch, his blood
always brings me.
Oh. Somebody gotta cry out, Jesus,
sustaining me.
Sometimes you gotta call him,
Jesus,
you gotta call on him,
sustaining me.
My, 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 my Lord,
sustains me
late in the midnight hour,
sustaining me
when I can't sleep at night,
sustains me
trouble,
God is sustaining
trouble on the mind,
Jesus sustains me.
Sometimes your friends,
going to read chapter 2 verses, amen, that's Nahum chapter 2 verses 8 through 3, chapter 3 verse 7, chapter 3 to 7, amen. And it says, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Amen. Praise be to God. Nineveh is like a leaking water reservoir. The people are slipping away. Stop, stop, someone shouts. But no one even looks back. Loot the silver, plunder the gold. There's no end to Nineveh's treasures. It's vast, uncounted wealth. Soon the city is plundered, empty and ruined. Hearts melt and knees shake. The people stand aghast, their faces paled and trembling. Where now is that great Nineveh, that den filled with young lions? It was a place where people, like lions and their cubs, walked freely and without fear. The lion tore up meat for his cub and strangled prey for his mate. He filled his den with prey, his caverns with his plunder. A carbon, praise God. And that is a, let's see, what that word, caverns with his plunder. I am your enemy, verse 13, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Your chariots will soon go up in smoke. Your young men will be killed in battle. Never again will you plunder conquered nations. The voices of your proud messengers will be heard no more. Chapter 3 is the Lord's judgment against Nineveh. What sorrow awaits Nineveh, the city of murder and lies? She is crammed with wealth and is never without victims. Hear the crack of whip, the rumble of wheels, horses' hooves prowl, pound, and chariots clatter wildly. See the flashing swords and glittering spears as the charities charge past. There are countless catastrophes, heaps of bodies, heaps of bodies, so many bodies that people stumbled over them. All this because Nineveh, the beautiful and faithless city, mistress of deadly charms, enticed the nation with her beauty. She taught them all her magic, enchanting people everywhere. I am your enemy, says the Lord of heaven's armies, and now I will lift your skirts and show all the earth your nakedness and shame. I will cover you with filth and show the world how vile you really are. All who see you will shrink back and say, Nineveh lies in ruins. Where are the mourners? Does anyone regret your destruction? So may the Lord richly add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and always the doing of his mighty word. Amen. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Grant unto us, Lord, a servant heart. The world honors powerful men and women, winners, achievers, those who make it to the top. Teach us, Father, that all your children are important to you. There is not one greater in the kingdom than those who would give their lives to the service, to service, in service to you. It is not weakness we bring to you, but strength, honest and obedient, honest and obedience to do your will. Accept our offerings as tokens of our love to be used for your work in this world. Through Jesus, we seek to serve, and in his name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. To God be the glory. Now, Father God, remove self out of the way and allow the Holy Spirit to bring forth what thus says the Lord. When the Romans finally conquered Carthage in 146 BC, they razed the city, thoroughly plowed the site, and sowed it with salt. The spot where the city stood, however, has been well known from that day to this. Not so Nineveh. Its destruction was so complete that even the site was forgotten. Had all traces of the glory of the Assyrian Empire disappeared that many scholars actually thought the references to it in the Bible and in ancient history were mythical. They thought that in reality, no such city or empire ever existed. It was not until 1845 that the site was definitively identified and the ruins began to be uncovered. The library of the Assumptibel in the palace of Sennacherib originally contained 100,000 volumes, is one of the most important archaeological discoveries ever made. Its wealth of material about Assyrian and Babylon. History serves to confirm much of the Bible recorded. Nahum seemed bent on self-concealment, and in this he fairly well succeeded. The term Elkoshai in 1:1 has little meaning for us. Praise God. We are not told his family, his tribe, or even his nation, though he was undoubtedly from Judah. He wrote something between 663 BC when Assyria conquered Egypt and 609 BC when Assyria was defeated by Babylon. Now this was perhaps 100 years after Jonah had delivered God's message to Nineveh, the capital of Assyria. The prophecy of Nahum is given to one subject alone, the destruction of Nineveh, the capital of Assyria, which is used as a synonym for the entire nation. For the most part, this prophecy is pure poetry. This poem of three strophes, which correspond exactly with the chapter division can be summarized in five words. Woe to the bloody city. 3 and 1. Nahum 3 and 1. Unlike others among the prophets, Nahum had not a word to say about Judah's sins. His only reference to Judah were words of encouragement, for the destruction of Nineveh would mean deliverance for Judah. And we'll find that in, so if you turn with me to Nahum 1, 12 and 13, where it says, this is what the Lord says. Though the Assyrians have many allies, they will be destroyed and disappeared. O my people, I have punished you before, but I will not punish you again. Now I will break the yoke of bondage from your neck and tear off the chains of Assyrian oppression. Amen. And verse 15 says, look, a messenger is coming over the mountains with good news. He is bringing a message of peace. Celebrate your festivals, O people of Judah, and fulfill all your vows, for your wicked enemies will never invade your land again. They will be completely destroyed. And chapter 2, verse 2 says, even though the destroyer has destroyed Judah, the Lord will restore its honor. Israel's vine has been stripped of branches, but he will restore its splendor. Amen. Praise God. So, in language, that is forcible and graphic. The prophet's descriptions are condensed and brilliant. Chapter 1 consists of a question and its answer. The question in verse 6, see verses 1 through 6. The question is in verse 6. Who can stand before his fierce anger? Who can survive his burning fury? His rage blazes forth like fire, and the mountains crumble to dust in his presence. So no person on earth can safely defy God, the Almighty, the creator of all the universe, God who controls the sun, the galaxies, and the vast stretches beyond, also controls the rise and fall of nations. How could a small temporal kingdom like Assyria, no matter how powerful, challenge God's awesome power? If only Assyria could have looked ahead to see the desolate mound of rubble that it would become, yet God would still be alive and well. Don't defy God. He will be here forever with greater power than that of all armies and nations. Praise God. in verses 1, the answer is found in verses 1 through 6. Verses 1 through 6. Now it's just, praise be to God. Chapter 1, verses which we just read. No. The Lord's anger against Nineveh. This message concerning Nineveh came as a vision to Nahum, who lived in Elkosh. The Lord is a jealous God, filled with vengeance and rage. He takes revenge on all who oppose him and continues to rage against his enemies. The Lord is slow to get angry, but his power is great, and he never lets the guilty go unpunished. He displays his power in the whirlwind and the storm. The billowing clouds are the dust beneath his feet. At his command, the oceans dry up and the rivers disappear. The lush pastures of Bashan and Carmel faded, and the green forests of Lebanon withered. In his presence, the mountains quake and the hills melt away. The earth trembles and its people are destroyed. Who can stand before his fierce anger? Who can survive his burning fury? His rage blazes forth like fire, and the mountains crumble to dust in his presence. Praise God. So that is the answer. He will make an utter end of the enemies of his people. In verse 15, we see 7 through 15, that the Lord is good, a strong refuge when trouble comes. He is close to those who trust in him, but he will sweep away his enemies. In an overwhelming flood, he will pursue his foes into the darkness of night. Why are you scheming against the Lord? He will destroy you with one blow. He won't need to strike twice. His enemies tangle like thorn bushes and staggering like drunks. He will be burned up like dry stubble in a field. Who is this wicked counselor of yours who plots evil against the Lord? This is what the Lord says. Though the Assyrians have many allies, they will destroy and disappear. They will be destroyed and disappeared. Oh, my people, I have punished you before, but I will not punish you again. Now I will break the yoke of bondage from your neck and tear off the chains of Assyrian oppression. And this is what the Lord says concerning the Assyrians in Nineveh. You will have no more children to carry on your name. I will destroy all the idols in the temples of your gods. I am preparing a grave for you because you are despicable. Look, a messenger is coming over the mountain with good news. He is bringing a message of peace. Celebrate your festivals, O people of Judah, and fulfill all your vows, for your wicked enemies will never invade your land again. They will be completely destroyed. Amen. Praise God. Wow. Chapter 2 is made up of a threefold description: the siege and defense of the city in verses 1 through 5. Your enemies is coming to crush you, Nineveh. Man the ramparts. Watch the roads. Prepare your defenses. Call out your forces. Even though the destroyer has destroyed Judah, the Lord will restore his honor. Israel's vine has been stripped of branches, but he will restore its splendor. Shields flash red in the sunlight. See the scarlet uniforms of the valiant troops. Watch as their glittering chariots move into position with a forest of spears waving above them. The chariots race recklessly along the streets and rush wildly through the squares. They flash like firelight and move as swiftly as lightning. The king shouts to his officers. They stumble in their haste, rushing to the walls to set up their defenses. Amen. So that chapter 2 is made up of a threefold description: the siege and defense of the city, the capture and sack of the city in verses 6 through 10, and the prophet's exultation over the destruction of the ancient den of lions, 11 through 13, meaning the king and his cohorts. Chapter 3 is construction, at least by implication, around four questions. Who will moan for fallen Nineveh? Verse 7 and verses 1 through 7 in chapter 2, which we just finished reading. Amen. Are you better than the Thebes situated on the Nile with water around her? The river was her defense, the waters her wall, in verse 8 in the NIV, 8 through 15. Nahum wrote that the surrounding nations would rejoice when Nineveh fell. He declared, "All who hear the news about you clap their hands at your fall." Excuse me. For who has not felt your endless cruelty? In verse 19 in the NIV, you find that in 16 to 19. Amen. So the book of Nahum is no mere cry of the joy over the ruin of Israel's enemies. Nahum is not simply a nationalist exulting over the ruin of his nation oppressor. He is a prophet with a prophet's deep conviction that the power of God is ruling in all the turmoil of history. It is a hymn of praise for a great manifestation of the power and justice and mercies of the true God. What then has this little book to say to us in our day? Three things are clear. Amen. My text for this message is coming from Nahum 3 and 1 in the NIV, and it says, "Woe to the city of blood, full of lies, full of plunder, never without victims." And my title for this message is Nahum, Woe to the Bloody City. Tonight, my message is divided into three parts. The first part we're going to talk about is militarism is not the way to solve the problems of history. Now, Thebes was destroyed by the Assyrians. The Assyrians were destroyed by the Babylonians and their allies. The Babylonians were destroyed by the Persians, and so on. So when Peter attempted to defend his Lord with a sword, Jesus warned him in Matthew 26:52, all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. So whenever a mighty nation becomes rich and powerful by violating the principles of justice, freedom, and right has appeared on the stage of history. This principle has been demonstrated. The empire of the Caesars of Charlemagne and of Napoleon had the elements of decay at the core, even in the hour of their brutality and bloodshed. Their end was inevitable. By military might and tyranny among his own people, Adolf Hitler brought into being his third Reich, which he predicted would stand 1,000 years. Woe to the bloody city. Posthumously committed suicide in Berlin on April 30th, 1945. Napoleon, who bathed the continent of Europe in blood for nearly 2 decades, met his end at Waterloo on June 18, 1815. Genghis Khan conquered Mongolia in 1205 and then most of China, followed by conquest of Turkestan, Transylvania, modern Uzbekistan, and Afghanistan. He even penetrated southeastern Europe. His successor extended their power over the whole of China, Persia, and most of Russia. Militarism creates most of the problems of history. It solves none. Trying to solve the world's problem by war is like trying to rearrange the household furniture by using a stick of dynamite. Number two, the tyranny ultimately recruits the opposition by which it will be destroyed. Nineveh was really a complex of 4 cities in one, protected by the confluence of 2 rivers and a system of moats. It had a 100 feet high wall brought enough for 3 chariots to be driven abreast and fortified with 1,500 towers, each 200 feet high. The whole area covered 350 square miles, but the vastness of Nineveh was overshadowed by its wickedness. Nineveh's brutality toward the victims of its conquest was enough to make the blood run cold. Surrounding people shuddered with horror at the thought of ever being prey to Nineveh. Its manner for blood and savagery was gruesome. Nahum confirmed this as he exposed the violence, murder, witchcraft, whoredom, and vile corruption within the harlot city in chapter 3:1-7. Amen. So let's turn to chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, where it says, this is the Lord's judgment against Nineveh. What sorrow awaits Nineveh, the city of murders and lies? She is crammed with wealth and is never without victims. Hear the cracks of whips, the rumble of wheels, horses' hooves pound, and chariots clattered widely. See the flashing swords and glittering spears as the charities charge past. There are countless casualties, heaps of bodies, so many bodies that people stumble over them. All this because Nineveh the beautiful and faithless city, mysteries of deadly charms, enticed the nations with her beauty. She taught them all her magic, enchanting people everywhere. I am your enemy, says the Lord of Heaven's armies, and now I will lift your skirts and show all the earth your nakedness and shame. I will cover you with filth and show the world how vile you really are. All who see you will shrink back and say, Nineveh lies in ruins. Where are the mourners? Does anyone regret your destruction? Amen. So God's word to Nineveh was in 1 and 14, I will make thy grave, for thou art vile. How would he do this? By recruiting all those who had been oppressed by the bloody city. A combined policy on the part of those who had been humiliated by the Assyrian conquerors brought about Nineveh's downfall, forming a compact with nations that had long been tributary to Assyria. Nabopolassar of Babylon headed the conspiracy. Egypt, Media, and Persia joined him. Other peoples joined this confederacy against the common foe. The enemy surrounded Nineveh, but were at first driven back. Reinforcement came, and the city was again attacked. The siege lasted 2 years, for the defenders were violent, but a new foe, against which they were powerless, had to be reckoned with the Tigris River. Overflowing its banks, undermined it, and finally swept away a large section of the city walls that had for so long resisted the besiegers. In 2:6, when the flood subsided, the enemy crossed the river and poured through the gap into the city, and Nineveh was no more. Page after page of history demonstrates the truth that tyranny ultimately recruits the opposition by which it is destroyed. Search and see. And number 3, God is the sole ruler of the universe. Hallelujah. Nahum declared God's sovereignty and strength. God is jealous of his holy name, recompensing the wrongdoer and preparing to vent his wrath on his adversaries. although slow to anger and so forbearing, that his pro-offered forgiveness might be scorned by some. Yet he would by no means clear the guilty. The fact of his omnipotence is beyond controversy. In verses 1, chapter 1, verses 3 to 6, Judah has suffered intensely at the hands of Assyria. Some godly men felt that Jehovah was no longer interested in Judah's welfare, or if he was, he was powerless to restrain the ferocity and spoliation that marked Assyrian's aggression. Nahum was convinced that neither was the case. Nineveh was at the zenith of its power and splendor. The earth rang with the shouts of Nineveh's armored men as they sacked cities and enslaved peoples. But could Nineveh defy Jehovah with impunity? Could the moral law be set aside indefinitely? God had not abdicated, nor had his laws become inoperative. Sentence was already pronounced. Judgment would surely fall upon the ruthless oppressor. In spite of its wealth, display of military power, and strategy of its monarchs and statesmen, it will be overtaken by the righteous anger of the Most High. Of all the minor prophets, not one seems to equal the loftiness, the fire, and the spirit boldness of Nahum. Let the people of today take a good look at Nineveh of long ago, for it is one of God's special object lessons to rulers and nations and peoples. The same God rules the world today. Nahum speaks the universal voice of humanity. Let all the people hear and beware. Amen. I hope and pray that this message is a blessing to you. And my conclusion is, in this prophecy, there was comfort for the godly. Nineveh proclaims to us the final vindication of right against wrong, and therein is comfort. God's government is righteous. He is the stronghold of the godly. Nahum's doom song on Nineveh is no mere human cry for revenge, nor does it view Nineveh's coming destruction with parotid gratification from the standpoint of his own nation and countrymen. The predicted requital is viewed solely from the requirement of divine justice. Genesis 18:25 says, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" Truly, I hope and pray that this message was a blessing or is a blessing unto you. Amen. And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior, now is the time to do so before it's too late. And all you got to do is say this prayer after me. Praise God. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Lord, please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life, to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And if you have said that prayer and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you into the family of God. And all you have to do is to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you to a good Bible teaching church, and you will be saved. Amen. And my benediction is coming from Jude 24 and 25, where it does say, where it says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And let us all say, amen, amen, and amen. And I want to thank each and every one of you who tuned in to pray one for another, sweet hour of prayer and a word from the Lord, and didn't find it robbery to hear the word of God this evening. Amen. So God bless you. And may heaven smile upon you till we meet again tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. when I will come with another word from the Lord. Amen. Praise be to God. God bless you and good night and shalom. On that note, we leave out on all belongs to you by the Wiki Tone. Praise God.
thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.